The Hard Shoulder.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range. Celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
Now, in October, the average speed of traffic in Dublin city centre was 13.4 kilometres per hour during the morning peak. It's actually difficult sometimes to drive that slowly. It's slower than the densely populated city of London, with the English capital clocking an average speed of 14 kilometres per hour. This begs the question, as traffic rises every single morning, is it time to make a change with the introduction of a congestion charge similar to what is in place in London, discourage drivers from driving through the busy areas of this city? Well, I'm joined now by Jason Cullen, who's a Dublin Commuter Coalition, Janet Horner, the councillor for Dublin North Inner City, and Cathaoirleach of the Green Party, and also by Richard Gainey. You're all very welcome to the programme. To start with you first, Jason, Dublin buses congestion is so bad now that buses here are moving slower, as you said, than in Dublin. From a commuter's point of view, is Dublin beyond breaking point?
Well, yes, in a way. It's one of the worst cities in the world for congestion, particularly in lost hours to congestion. And funnily enough, you mentioned the cars are going at 14 kilometres an hour at peak, and the buses are running at 11. Now, that's not necessarily an issue with the volume of cars, but can in many cases be cars illegally using bus lanes to skip ahead of traffic in places for whatever reason they're doing it. So when it comes to the idea of a congestion charge in the city, it really needs to be taken in context of the entirety of Dublin. Right now, we are tolling people to do the behaviours that we want them to do, which is to avoid the city. That's the M50 toll and the East Link toll bridge, and obviously the Port Tunnel toll as well. Those bypass roads, are we put fees on them, and that financially encourages people to go through the city. Taking away those tolls would actually be a big first step to pull traffic out of the city. It doesn't necessarily need to be there.
But do we really need to put more traffic on the M50? I mean, we've seen all the reports in recent weeks about just how congested the M50 is in the morning.
Yeah, it needs to be done in line with an increased provision of service, delivery of the Dart West, Dart South West, Metro, obviously, the Lewis extensions, all those things, many of which have been pushed extremely longly by the current Minister for Transport and Government, which were intended to be delivered quite quickly. The reason that congestion is building and building and building is because government will not deliver the projects that they've already committed to. Deliver those projects, the M50 will ease in terms of traffic congestion, buses will move faster, and people's headaches, their daily headaches on the roads will be eased significantly.
Okay, Janet, to bring you in here, look, I think we all know that we need to do something radical, and there are calls repeatedly to invest more in public transport, but we see how long those projects are taking, the Metrolink, how long it's taking to roll out bus connects. In the interim, while we're waiting for that investment, while we're waiting for those other options for commuters, do we need to do something radical?
I think there's always a sort of reflex reaction to look for one simple measure that can solve all our problems. And a lot of the time, something like congestion charging, we're familiar with it, particularly in London, where there was a lot of controversy and media coverage of it. And sort of it seems like one measure. But even in the case of London, it's always a combination of many different issues. So in Dublin, one of our major crunch points is our public transport needs a lot more capacity on it. Bus Connect is rolling out at the moment. A lot of the spinal routes have gone through planning permission and are finally at a point where we're actually rolling them out. And we have other big infrastructure projects. Other things are, you know, the support of active travel, trying to encourage more people to see cycling as a safe and comfortable way of getting in and out of the city centre. The road space reallocation, so that's changing the space for buses on the quays to make sure buses can flow much more smoothly. the increasing use of EVs is very popular from an emissions reduction point of view, but doesn't do a lot for congestion. And then there's the big infrastructure projects alongside that that really need to. So that's Dart Southwest, Lewis Finglas, the Metro, the City Centre Transport Plan, and all those things in combination can deliver a change to how Dublin moves and flows, and hopefully encourage people to see public transport as a comfortable, viable option for them, and an alternative to sitting in their public car and going through the intensely and immensely frustrating process of moving inch by inch, watching the life change from green to red without going through on a daily basis. And
but
the
Janet,
stress
you would
and
accept
the poor health that comes with that.
There's lots of people in Ireland who perhaps could get public transport options who don't. We're wedded to the car. It's what we've done for years in this country, and it's just perhaps handier. It's reliable. It's more efficient for people as it stands, and you won't get them out of the car unless something more radical is done. There is that argument.
I think there's a combination of carrot and stick, and in all of these things we're trying to figure out what the right balance of carrot and stick is to get people to look at the more socially, environmentally responsible thing of public transport and active travel as opposed to using private cars. In some cases, many people just don't have a viable alternative, but for those who do, there is a lot. The City Centre Transport Plan is about cutting off the routes that make the city the quickest and most accessible way to get from north to south, or vice versa, and obliging people to kind of go around the edges. So there is that kind of that element of that is both carrot and stick. It makes public transport much quicker and much more attractive for getting into the city, but it also makes it much harder for you to navigate the city in a private car. So it's always trying to get the balance right and not trying to come in too heavily with a stick approach and penalising people who maybe don't have an alternative, but also really encouraging those who do to seek those alternatives and to use the alternatives that are available.
What about this just suggestion there from Jason? What we need to do is lift the tolls on things like the M50, on the East Link toll bridge, on the Port Tunnel, and that might take some traffic out of the city centre. We're forcing people to drive through the city centre to avoid all of those charges.
I think I am much, much keener that we work on increasing public transport into and around Dublin City before we would look at taking away tolls, which, again, I think all evidence would suggest that's only going to increase congestion on those routes as opposed to help alleviate the congestion that we are experiencing in the city centre and around the city at the moment.
Richard, you've described congestion charges as obsolete, inefficient and unfair. Why do you believe that they are the wrong tool for Dublin right now?
Well, I think I fundamentally agree with an awful lot of what Janet has just said there about the need to invest in public transport. And I do believe that people will use public transport when it's provided to them. We've seen that with the Lewis. We saw it as far back with the Dart. In terms of the congestion charges, I think what we need to do is make sure that we don't basically displace traffic from one location to another. And I think a congestion charge on the city centre alone, without looking at the totality of the Greater Dublin area, is, in my view, wouldn't work. You've mentioned the M50. And I think if you have congestion charge on, just on the entry points into the city centre, you'd be encouraging people to basically drive their cars further distances, increasing emissions and out to the M50, and basically exacerbating the donut effect.
But Richard, traffic is absolutely choking in the city, and bus services we can see are struggling, as is the Lewis. If not congestion charges, what would actually deliver results quickly? Well, I mean, we don't do public transport quickly in this country.
No, we don't, and we should. And I'm very frustrated by that. No, look, what I think we look at the model, if you're looking at charging people for road use, I think we look at the Singapore model, where basically you're charged by the length of time that you're on the road, and that then varies with the level of traffic at any particular point in time. And I think a model like that would basically, take the whole of the Greater Dublin area and on the major routes would be one that would, warrant some consideration. But I'm absolutely with Janet that we have to deliver the public transport. That is, you know, we can talk around this forever, but we need to get the public transport. And just in terms of the use of public transport, 72% of people who come to Dublin City use public transport. When you're looking at people going out to the outer town shopping centres, it's 80% use their car. And I think by encouraging people to go out into the M50 ring is not going to be the solution. And just at the moment, we have Operation Open City. The city centre is fine. You know, the people are able to get in. They're able to get to the car parks. As I say, 8 out of 10 are using sustainable transport. So that's public transport and active travel. And I think just, you know, a knee-jerk reaction on putting a congestion charge in Dublin City alone is not going to reduce the emissions and not going to reduce the traffic.
Okay, Janet, I want to bring you a text here from a hard shoulder listener. I can't bring in a congestion charge with suboptimal public transport that exists in the city, which is completely unreliable and unfit for purpose. Hundreds of millions have been spent on bike lanes that are used by a tiny minority of commuters. That money should have been spent on public transport.
Firstly, I would strongly agree with the first half of that text, which is that we desperately do need to invest in public transport and increase capacity to make it a viable alternative. In terms of bike lanes, you know, they are actually being well used. They are showing good results in Dublin. And what we are able to demonstrate is they are a really good return on investment. We are showing that. There was recently research released by the Doctors for the Environment, which shows a huge savings to our public health of the number of people that we have using bikes and cycling and walking regularly in the city. So they are a good return on investment. But we do also know when we look around Europe as cities that, and just to flatten one issue that's always raised, which is other cities that have just as much rain and just as much cold weather as Dublin, we know that cycling is a viable, practical alternative. The big difference between Dublin and those cities is that it is safe to get in your bike, it is safe to put a child on a bike, it is safe to be in your bike when you're older, and there is still a lot of work to do to get Dublin to the stage where cycling is a safe and comfortable for a wide range of people and not a high-risk activity. And it is only when we get to that point that we're really going to start seeing the huge benefits from the investment in cycle lanes we've put in so far. Oh, but unfortunately, and I know this isn't what your listener wants to hear, but the answer to seeing more people on bike lanes is more bike lanes, not fewer bike lanes.
Jason, I just want to put other suggestions to you here from listeners, and this is something I think we've all witnessed repeatedly around Dublin, is single car occupancy. With modern camera technology, says this hard shoulder listeners, we could impose a congestion charge on single occupancy cars and no charge for carpooling. What about that idea, Jason?
Yeah, look, it's one of the things you can do. Certainly can do it on the bigger roads. When we're talking about cameras, one of the most effective things we can do right now, one of the most immediate improvements you can see on a day-to-day basis would be implement camera enforcement in your bus lanes across the city centre. That is what's slowing down public transport. And people are choosing to use their car because the buses are being slowed down. They're unreliable and infrequent. And that is in part because of bus lanes being blocked needlessly. If you implement technologies like that to keep those bus lanes free, those buses will speed up, people will get out of their cars, you'll have immediate relief on the network. Can be done tomorrow, but we just don't do it for whatever reason. You'd have to ask the minister.
Councillor Janet Horner, CEO of Dublin Town, Richard Guiney, and Jason Cullen of the Dublin Commuter Coalition, thanks for joining us on that.
The Hard Shoulder with the MG Hybrid and Electric range, celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.